Every day there is a forgetting, and every moment there is the possibility of remembering. Remembering who you truly are, awakening to your body, to the inner world and experience of being alive. Here is where you find the beauty, the joy. Here is where you free your soma.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Free Your Soma, Stories of Somatic Awakening and How to Live from the Inside Out. Today, I'm speaking with Molly Mandelberg. She is the founder of Wild Hearts Rise Up, the creator of Magnetic Influencer Collective, and also the writer and illustrator of an amazing Oracle card deck that you actually gave me, one of those cards, when we met each other. And I still have it. I have it with like my gear for my festival gear, which just feels really special. She's the host of both the Tactical Magic podcast and Reveal the Game of Life podcast, as well as a best-selling author. And she's here to share some really wonderful, powerful insights for healers, for coaches, for conscious leaders who are ready to broadcast their messages with more ease so they can reach more people and make more money with less time spent. Her background is she has a certification as an NLP coach, and she does something really interesting called the Access Consciousness Bars Facilitation, which I don't know that much about, but I'd love to talk about it, as well as being a transformational leadership coach and on top of that, a full-time nomad. So I'm so excited to talk to you today. There's a lot there we can explore because you're just this very multifaceted, multidimensional person and you have a lot to offer. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, you know, but maybe wherever on your timeline you want to start in terms of telling us about how you came to be sitting here today in front of me with all this magic.
Yeah, I think if you told me 10 years ago or maybe 12 years ago that I was going to be teaching marketing or business in some way, I would have laughed in your face. It's so not the energy of who I used to be. And I think one of the things I most love to encourage in people or to share about is that your path will rise up to meet you. As long as you keep taking steps forward, that things will synchronize and fall into place. And that's really what finding this path sort of was for me. I read a book that made me want to go to a workshop. I somehow miraculously found the money to go to the workshop at the time. I used to be quite a starving artist archetype and struggling to get by and traveling a lot, but, you know, on a dime, never like allowing myself to receive or have money or be in a thriving state. And went to that workshop and it changed my life. And so it led me to getting certified as a hypnotherapist. And I was walking down the street in the town that I was living at the time, Half Moon Bay, California, and saw a for lease sign with a gap. It was like a practitioner office. And there was a gap on the sign that was number 4. And that is my lucky number. So I was like, this seems like a sign, like literally. I walked into the building, there wasn't a receptionist. So I knocked on room number 4, nobody answered. So my dad's voice was in my head, like, just open the door, see what's inside. And I opened the door and had this moment of clarity of like, this is a place where I'm going to do some of my life's work. And from that moment, within the span of 11 days, I had named my business, bought a domain, built a website, got my graphic design boyfriend at the time to make me a logo, and registered my business, signed a lease for that office, and got business cards made. And this all happened within like a week and a half. Suddenly I went from being this kind of struggling artist, don't know what I want to do with my life, substitute teaching, bartending, like traveling the world kind of aimlessly. I was writing my novel at the time, but that was my only real focus. And within the span of a week and a half, suddenly I was a business owner. And so I had this big identity crisis of like, what does that mean about me? Who am I now? And over the course of about a year and a half, I shifted away from hypnotherapy. I don't know if you can tell yet, but I talk kind of fast. And as a hypnotherapist, you need to talk real slow. And I shifted my focus towards coaching. And as I did that, I was trying to find my niche, so to speak. I was trying to figure out, who do I really want to talk to? And what do I really, really want to talk about? Because as a hypnotherapist, I was like, I can help anybody do anything. Like, this set of tools is amazing. And it was, and it did. Hypnotherapy can change your life radically. But I was really trying to find, you know, where do I fit into this world of, I want to make a difference. I'm suddenly acknowledging and aware that I have capacities that can help people. Who do I most want to be sitting in a room with for the next 3 to 5 to 10 years? And so I was changing my niche and changing my focus and talking about different things. And every time I did that, I built out an entirely new signature talk and email series and, you know, workshop and group online course, group program. And I kept building things and launching them and building things and launching them, and nothing really quite took. And I was having this is the long version of the story. I had an opportunity to speak to a room of people that that were my peers, that were my friends and community, but that were also all coaches and holistic practitioners. And I had this sort of breakdown, breakthrough moment the night before my talk with a friend, you know, asking her, everything I'm doing doesn't seem to be working. Can you just tell me what the world needs from me? Because I just can't seem to see it in myself. And she pointed to that. She pointed to the creation, the stuff that needs to be made for a business like this to take off. And the thought that came to me, the words that came out of my mouth were, no one's going to pay for that. That's the fun part. And she looked at me and she was like, Molly, it's really not fun for most of us. And so then I was like, okay, well, let's give it a shot. I changed my whole talk overnight. I gave a speech about that, about building the pieces of the puzzle so that it's easier to share your message with the world. It's easier to find your people. And it happened to be that that was the perfect audience to do that to. It led to 3 sessions. Those 3 sessions led to 3 packages. Those packages led to referrals. And that was the beginning of this thing taking off. And that was about 8 years ago. And it morphs and changes. I think at first I was like, okay, people need the skills and the tactics. And so I went heavy in that direction and realized that that soul part of me that had been drawn to hypnotherapy in the first place wasn't being fed. And so there was this beautiful time of figuring out how to integrate the spirit and the personal growth that can come through this work into also teaching the strategy in the business. And now everything I do is a mix of those two, of what do we actually need to create and set up, and how can we get over all the blocks, internal and external, to bringing that stuff to the world. So that's what I do now, is I help people unravel those limiting beliefs and those energy sort of stuck points, while simultaneously creating the pieces of the puzzle that they want to share with the world, so that they can be not only put out there, but also found and engaged with and resonated with in such a way that people are compelled to say yes and show up.
Oh, wow. This is such a wonderful story. I think the parts that really stand out to me, you know, especially in the beginning part of your journey, is that, you know, you just started taking action and doing things, even if it didn't totally make sense to you, yeah. Right? There was an exploratory, experimental process of just like, you know, knowing in somewhere, some knowing inside of you that you were stepping into a different version of yourself, but you didn't know what that was yet. You know, like one of my mentors calls it the zone of incomprehensibility, where we don't really know like what we're doing or if it's going to work or what's going to happen. But the thing that propels us forward is kind of this just desire to figure it out or to explore it without any expectation or knowledge of what's going to come. And I think that, you know, that is, first of all, very courageous. It's very inspiring. A lot of people get stuck, like you said, with the limiting beliefs or the patterns inside of them that are preventing them from actually just taking action and exploring and, you know, figuring it out. And so I love that that seems to be a natural part of your nature, to be in this exploratory, you know, realm of not knowing, and, you know, that you can be there for other people as they start to explore that side of themselves is really marvelous. I see how that totally connects with being a traveler, with being an adventurer. And maybe you can say a little bit about that, because I mean, I also traveled nomadically for a time, but especially as a woman, I think that it really can be an empowering experience, because you really learn about yourself and you learn how powerful, you know, you can be in the world. You want to say a little bit about your time you spent traveling, you know, and
Yeah,
what that
absolutely.
was
I also
like?
just I want to speak to that highlight that you pulled out there, because that's one of the most important things I think to look at as in any field, but especially as an entrepreneur, is people want to wait for clarity to move forward. And that clarity only comes through exploration, through action. So yeah, and now that you brought it up, it's funny that this is the first time I feel like I'm acknowledging this, but I think my years of traveling nomadically built that sort of resilience with being somewhere I don't know where I'm going or what, where I'm sleeping or what's happening, and having to figure it out. That I was very aware at the time that I build this sort of self-confidence and self-esteem and courage and bravery to continue putting myself in these unknown, unforeseen pathways. And that was what gave me more courage to do that in my business. That makes perfect sense. I don't think I ever connected those two dots. But yeah, I've been traveling for 15 years. I finished college. I studied abroad a couple times in college. And then when I finished my bachelor's degree, I just didn't want a dead end job. I didn't want to take on a career path that I would get stuck in. And the only thing I knew I wanted to do was travel. So I would work random jobs for, you know, 2 to 5 months and save up as much money as I could and then buy a flight. I went often for many years. I was traveling somewhere warm in the winter because I don't like winter, and then coming back and traveling around the States in the summer, usually visiting family and friends and going to, you know, music festivals and kind of just very much trying to find myself. And also back then I was in not a very healed state. I was very much like running from community, running from personal responsibility and being witnessed too deeply. I think I was really afraid. I had this notion that I was unworthy and that I was wrong and bad. And so I was avoiding any situations that would get too deep to either confirm or deny that belief. And that's another one of the beautiful things that happened with starting my business, was I had to start looking at how I see myself and addressing the parts of me that had bought the lie that I'm not good enough or that I'm not worthy, and doing really deep healing work around who I think I am and what I think I'm capable of. And that's sort of my ulterior motive in teaching business and marketing, is that your business is a pathway for your spiritual growth, that it's an avenue for really beautiful, powerful transformation to occur if you're willing to see it through that lens. So yeah,
oh, yeah.
Traveling is a rapid personal growth adventure, and so can be business.
Yeah, and you know, what you just said makes so much sense to me on a deep level, because stepping into leadership means being more self-responsible as like a baseline. You know, a true leader who inspires others, right, to also step forward into like their highest potential, that takes personal work. That takes stepping out of, like you said, those beliefs that, you know, we are unworthy or that there's something innately wrong with us, that sort of haunt us and follow us around. You know, like you said, you're traveling all over the world. You probably got to change your identity, you know, and the, you know, situation and the culture that you're in like multiple times a year. And yet you still were carrying around this baggage of like, you know, the beliefs that you carry, right? That stuff doesn't change, even if your location changes, even if your hairstyle changes, it's in you, or it's in your body. And so when you're stepping into leadership, and I mean, running your own business is absolutely a massive commitment to being a leader in your own life, you know, being your own boss. And it comes with so much independence, but it takes, you know, and that's why I think that personal development, or, you know, spiritual development and entrepreneurship, they go hand in hand, because you're not going to be successful without that kind of self-responsibility. Can you say a little bit more about like kind of this idea of being self-responsible and why it's like not appealing to us in the beginning, and then it maybe becomes like the most appealing thing when we really break it down?
Yeah, I mean, working for someone else, having some sort of a outside influence as a motivating factor is a lot easier for most people. like you said, that self-motivation is a place of leadership. It's you leading yourself forward. And that without accountability and without support around you, it can be really easy to sort of fall off the wagon or not do things or procrastinate or, you know, get into sort of unhealthy cycles with your creative process. And it takes self-motivation. It takes some form of follow through. And either you create that or you quit, I think. Either you find it and create it or you quit. And that can come in a lot of different forms. For me, I have leaned heavily into sort of work partnerships, not partnerships necessarily, but co-working. When I know that I have something I want to create and I know I'm not getting it done, but it's important to me, I set up a situation or system to support me to follow through with it. So that can be a reward system where if I spend an hour on this, I can, you know, go to the park with my dog. Or if I, you know, complete this part of this project this week, then I get some sort of a great thing. But if I'm still not following through with it, I'll set up a co-working experience where I'm meeting someone on Zoom and we're not going to talk about anything. We're not going to hang out. We're both going to work on our projects to follow through with that thing. That's how my second book got written. Was who else is writing a book right now? Great. I need some accountability. Will you hop on the phone with me once a week and let's bust these out? The other way to do that is by investing in programs. So I was, I think, smart early on, even though it was more of an investment than I could really handle at the time, to put myself into programs and courses where I was surrounded by people with similar vision, people who were trying to build a dream like mine. And being around other people who saw that as possible gave me a lot of support in those moments, especially the first few years of business where you're like, I can't do this, or I don't have what it takes, or it's never going to work out. To be around other people who can reflect back to you that you are going there and it is possible and we believe in you and we believe in the dream, obviously, because they're working on the dream too. So I think creating those kinds of things to support you to keep going is really important. And we don't necessarily just have access to that. Even if you have the most loving partner or family, they often don't have an awareness that this kind of crazy dream is possible. So they don't make the best support team for that kind of vision. They can, but it's often a lot more synergistic to have people who are building a similar dream at your back and at your side as you're doing it. So, yeah.
Yes. I really love that. I think like that goes back to what you were saying about community, you know, and it does take, there's even personal growth that comes with just entering a group dynamic and a group program, because you're going to see yourself and other people, you're going to, you know, have different feelings and emotions and, you know, beliefs come up. And, you know, when I started my entrepreneurship, I joined a group program and it was really beneficial because I got it done. I got it done. And like, it was the collective energy, you know, as well as the leadership of someone who had already done it before. What you just said also about like your partner, your family, or, you know, even your friends, like not being the best people to support you in that endeavor, because it's a little too crazy. It's a little too wild. That's so true. And I really had to like, you know, in the beginning, kind of put my blinders on to like people who thought I was just like, you know, how, you know, what do you think you're doing? Nobody's going to go for this, you know, like that's way too much to charge for a group, you know, whatever it was, whatever the story is. But I was like, well, there are people out there that are doing this. And so I'm just going to see if I can keep aligning myself with those people. So I think what you're saying is so true. And I'm sure like that, you know, how long is your program? It's 6 months, right? You said that.
Yeah, I'm a maker of things to my core. So I have a dozen programs and offerings. Okay. But yeah, the big one that I do the most, you know, deep work and give the most resources for people is a 6-month program. It's called Magnetic Influencer Collective, which we shortened to MAGIC, which is just fun to say. I run MAGIC. Join me for MAGIC, or we're magicians inside of MAGIC.
I love that. That's great. And you know, 6 months is a serious amount of time to not only establish new habits, but also really see things take off, you know, because, you know, you do things in your business that, you know, you're taking all this action, you're doing all these things, it's not going to be immediately, nothing's going to be immediately happening. It takes like sometimes 2 or 3 months or more for those seeds that you planted to actually come to fruition. You know, so to have a group program that really takes you through half a year of an experience, I can see how that would be really transformative for a person and their business, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. For changing habits, for building new capacities with your creations, like broadcasting a message on social media or getting consistent with a podcast or actually following through with, you know, setting up your email list and figuring out how people are going to join it and how do you want to use that tool for yourself. All those pieces of the puzzle take some like show up. They take you showing up to set it up. And that takes a lot of permission and a lot of bravery on our part. So having this like emotional support system built in, as well as it includes private coaching with me. So you get the actual like, I don't know how to say this. I do. I'm sort of a powerhouse with creation. If you couldn't tell by now, the amount of things that I make and set up on those calls that we do one-on-one, I get to like dig in individually with each person and help move the piece forward that they've been stuck on. So if that's your email list, great. If that's you giving yourself permission to actually post something on social media, then we'll navigate that. But we get the power of the group and the collective interacting and supporting each other. There's something really magical, which I know you know, when you bring a group of people together, especially heart-centered people, they support each other and you get to watch these connections happen, this support system get built, and just hold the space for the magic that that interplay between them is. So they get resources and templates they can dig into on their own. They get one-on-one support with me so that we can unstick any of those stuck points that are specific to them. And then they get this beautiful container where we're all showing up to support each other. And there's something really powerful that happens every single time, because you're right, 6 months is a long time, especially in a magical being's life. Shit is going to hit the fan at some point in 6 months, usually. Some kind of life change is going to occur probably every 6 months. And so we've had people, you know, their marriage is falling apart, or their, you know, pregnancy ends, or their like whole world has to be moved to a new place after living in a place for 16 years that suddenly there's mold in the house and they need to move like where they're at. To have that kind of support system and to have that kind of help holding the thread of your business through whatever stuff comes up is really valuable. It's really valuable to have that built into your life, no matter what shows up in your reality, to be dealt with. And I think one of the really beautiful things that I beat the drum of a lot is it's okay to take time to be with your life. It's okay to take time to not set the business aside, but kind of, yeah, set the business aside for a moment and be with what's showing up, because it's very likely that the lesson you're learning in that life stuff is going to feed into you as a leader in your business. And getting to watch that happen over and over, I can say that with confidence, that whatever you're facing in your life is turning you into the person you're supposed to become to bring that next thing forward. So trust that and be with what's showing up, and like know that your business is not dead unless you decide that you're never going to come back to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is the word that comes to mind when you're describing, you know, the approach that you're taking with business is that it's a holistic thing where you're inviting the whole person to be part of their business journey. So we're not having to like compartmentalize. And, you know, if it was just a program that was just about building your self-paced course, and there wasn't a whole lot of talk about what's going on in our inner world, what's going on in our somatic experience of life, right? If that was just sort of like separated, people wouldn't feel comfortable to bring up what's really happening in their lives, which is absolutely going to impact their ability to do any of the things that they need to do for their business. And as you said, like, whatever it is that's happening in their life is going to potentially affect their business in a positive way if they can really move through it and learn the lesson that's there to learn, you know, and really be in touch with what, you know, what their, whether it's their soul, whether it's the universe, whether it's their karma, their personal karma, however you want to like phrase it, whatever's coming up in their reality to be held, right? To be moved with. That is going to maybe even send them in a whole new direction with their business that's more authentic.
Yeah, and it does. Not every time, but sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and then the thing is too, is that, you know, as you said, I love that you said, it's okay to take time to be with your life. And that is refreshing because, you know, when we think of like business strategy, I think a lot of us think of like this sort of relentless attitude of just like, you know, working long hours and, you know, pushing ourselves. And like, I know you don't want to do it, but we're going to be disciplined and we're going to do it. And what you're saying is like, actually, there's sometimes where it's totally appropriate to just set all that aside and be with yourself. And I think that is, again, a very holistic approach to business strategy. It allows someone to be a human experiencing their business and not like try to make them into some kind of superhero, but just let them be human in their experience. And the fact that you have this container that you're holding people through, you know, is precious. And we don't often, you know, not every one of us had like a supportive, like, you know, home life when we were growing up. Maybe some people didn't even have like supportive friend or community systems. So this, for some people, it may be the first time they're actually experiencing being held in a powerful way by a group, you know, for some people, it, you know, or stuff comes up to be healed from previous experiences that didn't work out. You know, I'm sure there's a lot that goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that showing up in our businesses, well, the thing is, when you don't have a regular paycheck, and when you're the generator of, you know, whatever engagement or response is going to bring you an income, it's really easy to enroll in the idea that the harder I hustle, the more money I make, and that I don't make money unless I blah, 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 stay consistent, make it happen, force, push, blah, whatever. And one of the things I've noticed in my own life over and over again, and with my clients, I've actually had hundreds of people go through my mini course called Peace with Money, is that your energy is the thing that attracts money. And so you could create less with more attunement to the energy of receiving money, and it could generate greater than if you were to hustle and grind and do it all perfectly by the book of whoever wrote the book about marketing a business. And so when I say, yeah, be with your life, it's true that sometimes pausing the grind or changing the cycle of the flow can actually generate greater. And that when you do the healing work, that whatever your life is feeding you an opportunity to look at or heal or be with, that can be a level up. And that brings us back to the access consciousness stuff we were talking about. Maybe talking about is there are tools out there that can unstick you from the points of view that you've been creating your life from. And I'm like, you noticed, we call them a DLOS, does lots of stuff. I've tried a lot of modalities out there, a lot of energy work, a lot of, you know, attunements and activations and different kinds of modalities that could, you know, pop me open and make me happier or more conscious or more healed or whatever. And access consciousness is a set of tools that has changed my life more dramatically than anything else. And one of those things is just our capacity to receive, that you can create all the same things in business A or another person with their business B. And if there isn't an energetic alignment to receiving or an allowance for receiving, the same two businesses can receive an income in such different ways. And so that energy piece is so important that I personally, like I said, I used to be this starving artist. I used to live on like $300 a month, sometimes like really scraping by and making it work. And I had a shift in like a 5-minute access consciousness session actually happened right before that business shift I was mentioning, that my whole niche changed and then suddenly money was flowing in after not flowing in for a really long time. And That's because the energy I had around money, the energy I had around receiving what I thought was possible for me, it shifted. Something got cleared out and possibilities flowed in. And so I think that whatever set of tools you find out there, I know access consciousness is my jam and it's not for everyone. And there's so much to be said for somatics as well, which of course, you know, and speak to a lot, but finding the set of tools that's going to change your possibility consciousness, your physical experience of receiving, your blocks and barriers to what you believe is possible for you when you show up and create, or when you take a break, changing that narrative, if it's a narrative that's not empowering you right now, is so, so important.
Yeah, I very much relate to what you're saying, even the part about like living on nothing, because I also did that for like pretty much my whole 20s. And so coming into, you know, making my own business, and then, you know, within the first year and a half, like actually having money and making more money than I'd ever made before in my life was a pretty significant energetic shift. And there were moments where I felt like I was almost playing catch up, you know, like I was like catching these spaces in myself that like were still holding on to these beliefs about life or beliefs about money that were no longer relevant, were actually just like life was showing me that that was no longer true about me. And yet there were these like little dregs of like my previous belief and identity that, you know, and they still show up because they're unconscious most of the time. They're unconscious. We don't realize they're there. And then something occurs and we, you know, have some kind of experience, usually of suffering in some way. And then that's that unconscious thing coming to the surface, kind of bubbling up for us to go, oh, that was in there. That was all the way at the bottom of the drawer, like hanging out there, you know? And yeah, it's a really kind of fascinating thing. Kind of going back to, you know, the access consciousness and the different tools that you have, I think that multiple tools for an individual are usually the thing that works. Like it's like you had the background in hypnotherapy, you had, you know, work with NLP, and then you start coming into access consciousness, you know, facilitation. Like you're coming in with all the things you already learned that are still helpful and were still effective. And so it's like another layer of your growth. And so like, for example, you know, somatic education and working with like muscle patterns in our bodies and releasing muscular stress, when I do that, it makes it easier for me to actually do other kinds of healing work, just as doing other kinds of healing work when I've come people come to do somatics with me. If they already have a background in NLP, we're doing the same thing they're doing in NLP, but we're doing it with their musculature. It's just like, I think that it's a, you know, we kind of can get it locked into this idea that we got to find our thing. And that's like one thing, but it's never just one thing. It's always everything you ever learned that's here right now in you. And then the things that you're discovering that are going to resonate, you know, and those things are totally relative to what you came into, you know, the situation with. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that they make space for new modalities to come in. Like, I'm not sure I could have even heard or sat through an access consciousness class before all those other modalities were in my life, because they change you. They support you to expand in such a way that then you can receive other things too. You know, like, I don't know about you, but if you're, I'm just going to use an example of giving someone a massage, somebody who uses their body and moves their body and has their own practices with their body, it's easier to give them a massage. Their muscles are loosened up. There's like more awareness of what's going on, where the pain is, how it hurts. And the same is true with these kinds of healing modalities. Somebody who's doing the work in whatever modality or capacity, they come to a new set of tools and it's easier to integrate into them because you've got this sort of dexterity with that kind of practice. Yeah, do the one that's right in front of you and don't make it have to be the only one in your life ever, because there might be something more that shows up and comes along.
Yeah, having that flexibility to be able to, you know, pivot when the moment arrives. You know, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, I love writing, and writing is a huge part of being an entrepreneur these days. And you are obviously a writer. You've written some novels. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, you know, some people come into this and they don't feel like they're writers. right? They don't feel comfortable writing. How do you kind of work with that as a writer to sort of warm people up to the idea that writing is this really powerful tool that they can develop?
Yeah, I think that writing can be very emotional and dramatic. We can resist it a lot. Even as a writer myself, there can be resistance to it. But it is one of the best ways to access your subconscious mind. It's one of the best ways to access how you actually feel and think about something. And so, yeah, some of the tools, let's go into tools. Some of the tools that I use with people, first off, is just giving them a prompt, something to respond to. Because if you sit down and look at a blank page, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing here. It's really easy to get in your head and want to just bail. So having something to respond to, like a prompt where you're just trying to answer the question, you can answer it real short, you can answer it long. Another tool is just writing with speed, writing whatever word is in your mind, even if you end up writing like word, 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 word until you get the next word into your head. Sometimes just speed can get you over that hump of I don't know what to say. It also makes it messy right up front. And one of the things that keeps us from writing is perfectionism. We want to get it right. We want to do it perfect. Technology turns on our left, and whether it's literal hemisphere or energetic hemisphere, the left side of our brain, which is more logical and controlling. And so one way to get more into a flow state with creation, with especially with writing, is to take it to paper and pen or pencil. We want to make things perfect. We want to make things right. And we want to use the delete button to sort of justify things. So this is a lesson that I learned from my mother, who's been a writer for many decades and a successful one at that. There's four words that can sort of get your left brain to shut up and let you be in your right brain, which is the creative, poetic, sort of yummy, amazing, decorative part of your mind. And the four words are, I'll fix it later. So if you're writing and you're stopping yourself and you keep using the delete key, well, first off, get off the computer and write with a pen. That'll help you a little bit. But if you're still judging it and making it wrong and crossing things out, just tell that part of your brain that I'll fix it later. I'm just going to put something on the page right now. I'll fix it later. And put all the different words and versions without crossing things out, without going back to read it. Just keep dumping all the ideas you have about this thing and all the things you might want to say about this thing, knowing that you will come back and edit it. The problem that happens, my mom uses the example when she's teaching her writing class of football teams on a field that, or one football team in practice. You can't have both sides doing offense at the same time. That one side needs to practice their offense, one side needs to practice their defense so that they can have a game. But when we are sitting there and we're judging ourselves, we're basically letting the left brain drive before anything even exists yet. And so you're in this like gridlock of stopping yourself before you can go. And that I'll fix it later gives the right brain the freedom to have its turn first. The right brain always gets to go first. And then the left brain is going to come and tighten it up and clean it up before it actually goes out anywhere. You're not going to send something out that you just like, you know, threw up onto a page. That there is going to be an editing phase, and knowing that's coming can give you a little bit more permission to create. So those are some tools that help. I'll fix it later is a really powerful mind hack. And also that perfectionist tendency, if somebody's really stuck in it, I ask them to take the piece of paper, like move from computer to paper and pen, crumple up the piece of paper first and then flatten it out. And now you're already starting with something that is not perfect. There is now no way to make this piece of paper perfect. So give up the need to do so and just let it be messy and do it wrong until you come back and make it right later.
I spent a lot of time in my early years writing, and then I took like a really long break from it. You know, and as you're speaking, I'm kind of thinking about like, what was it that was going on in me that I took such a long break from it? But also kind of piecing together the things that I know about, you know, reading and writing are cross hemisphere activities, and which is what you're describing. In order, especially if you read on paper and you read like in real life versus like you reading you know, an image on a screen. It's a different relationship that your brain has to writing on a screen than it has to something in front of you on paper, you know, that's corporeal, that you can feel, that there's like a, even, you know, running your finger across a page, there's a texture to the ink that your eyes are actually taking in, right? So it's a distinctly different experience neurophysiologically to read something, you know, real life versus read something on a screen. And what you're describing around writing totally makes sense. And what we eventually want to get our brains to be doing when we're reading writing, what, you know, a successful session of reading or writing looks like, is a lateralization of our brains, where our brains start, you know, kind of doing this almost like infinity symbol, where there's this back and forth from the right and the left side working together, right? Where we have our logical, like, you know, linear side where things are ordered, you know, beginning, middle, and end, but we're also letting the other side with its non-linear approach just be wild and creative and come up with ideas, you know? So I definitely love that I'll fix it later thing, because, you know, and I'm just kind of piecing this together now. There was a definite shift for me when I started being on a computer more and writing on a computer more versus how I did in high school, was I just had journals, you know, and when I was traveling, I had journals, you know, but there was a shift and I stopped writing as much, because you have, like you said, that delete key and you're like, oh, I'm going to fix it right now because I noticed it right now, versus that permission to just bleh, and do it messy. And that goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, which is it's in the activity, it's in the action that we start to discover like what we're there for.
Yeah.
We're not going to have the entire thing figured out when we sit down to write it. That's not usually what happens.
Yeah.
We start doing it, and in the exploration, we discover what it is that really needs to be said or what needs to be done. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's really good kind of that the left brain wants to turn on when you're looking at your computer, because there's a lot of places you could click and mess things up. You don't want to accidentally send things before they're done. Also, I just want to say this to anyone out there who's making content: never draft your content in a software, because it doesn't autosave. You can easily click and lose it, and then you've just written something beautiful. Always write it somewhere that autosaves, like a Google Doc or a Word doc or a piece of paper, because it's so easy to click away. And that's what your left brain is trying to do, is trying to keep you safe. It's trying to tell you, like, don't click in the wrong place. But when that part of your brain is activated, there's just less juice that can come out. So there's one other thing I wanted to share, which is the concept of priming the pump. And there's many places people use that phrase in business. But what I'm talking about is I write every day for whatever I need to be writing about. I write in bed before I get out of bed in the morning, and I write in bed before I turn the light out at night. And for me, that's like a marathon runner jogging to keep the body active. I keep that action going in my life, so that when I sit down to write an email for myself or for a client, when I sit down to write a sales page for myself or for a client, all that stuff that wants to come out of me, the energy stuff, the emotional stuff, the processing, the like juicing myself up energetically with affirmations or with gratitude or whatever, that's already happened. And so now there's like a clearer channel for me to access whatever words are trying to actually come through for this project that is just easier because I've done my writing separately or my writing already that day. So I can't speak
enough of that.
Yeah.
I love that, because what do most people do? They look at their phone first thing in the morning. I know I've been in the habit of that time at times. Yeah. Or they look at their phone. It's the last thing they do before they go to bed. And it's often social media or their email. Maybe it's something about work. It's not what you're describing. Is like much more of like, it's I want to say like self-centered in the best possible way.
It's intention versus reaction. When you go to your phone, you're immediately starting your reaction mode for the day.
Right, right.
Instead of and what you want to bring forth.
It's connecting with what's internally there and externalizing what's internal, versus the other way around when we're looking at Instagram or something. There's this, you know, with comparing or whatever people do, where we're taking what's external and we're making it part of ourselves. We're like looking at someone and comparing our lives to theirs, or we're going, oh, I want that. I want to do that thing. So you're talking, it's like the reverse thing. We're taking what's internal, what's in your mind, what's in your heart, what's in your body, and you're externalizing it versus the other way around. And I think that there's a clearing that, you know, when we practice that regularly, there's a clearing, there's a clearness that comes through energetically in our system. So I'm definitely inspired to take that on and try that out, because I've never actually done bookended, you know, beginning and end of day. I've done the morning pages, but I've never really done it at night.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I find usually in the morning, it's like juicing myself up for the day. Or if I woke up with a dream or still thinking about something that I'm processing, I'll write about that. And then the end of the day is like the decompression and like the gratitude and the, more of the emotional processing, because usually by the end of the day, something may have happened that you need to like look at and ask questions about. But yeah, it's, I think my secret to joy, my secret to creation is the fact that I take time with myself like that. And that gives you some self-awareness that we just don't otherwise have.
Yeah, there's an aspect to it that also is inviting your system to slow down, right? Because we don't write really fast. You know, often people type faster than they write by hand for the most part, you know, and writing, I mean, I will go back to this so many different times in my own life. Writing is a somatic experience. We are using our body, you know, to like move through things that are being held in our system and bring them outside into the world to be looked at, to be, you know, kind of wondered about. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, diving deeper into that with people is exciting, to invite people into a world where they're using writing as a process to clear and to make sense of what's next for them.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Powerful. You know, I've been really enjoying this conversation on a personal level. I feel like it was just a really apt time for me to hear, you know, the things that you're expressing, and it's very inspiring. I also super relate to like the nomadic lifestyle and building, you know, my confidence as an entrepreneur from that background, you know? And I would love to, you know, hear anything else that's coming through for you today that you feel like in this conversation, in this line of, you know, I guess, questioning, like, what else is coming through that you might like to share with our audience?
Yeah, I think what's coming through is that you're the only one who really has the choice. You're the only one who gets to decide what your life is going to look like, or where the road ends, so to speak. So if you're out there and you're feeling stuck in your body, your heart, your mind, and your fulfillment creatively, like, no one's coming to save you and make you do it. That you get to decide when enough is enough, or when it's finally time, or when the inspiration is just too overwhelming to deny anymore, like whatever flavor it takes. But there's nothing more fulfilling than honoring that part of you that's asking for greater, or that's asking for change, or that's asking for something like different or exciting. And so listen to that whisper, listen to that voice that's pushing you in a new direction. I just made a video this week about the pivot that people are afraid. If we try something new, then we're basically starting over at square zero or square one, so to speak. And that is never true, which is what you and I were just talking about. Every modality you've had until now has given you the ability to move towards the next modality or to receive something new. So hopefully my personal story of how my business got started is a good example of there are no wrong turns. Everything you're doing is expanding your capacities, it's expanding your consciousness, it's expanding your dexterity for change. And when you listen to that call and you take strides forward, it will always give you whatever lesson or growth is required for you to become that version of you that you're feeling called toward. So trust it, listen to it, move toward it. That's the main thing I want to let people know.
I love that. That speaks to me very directly right now. And I'm sure there's other people listening who feel that, like feel it in their body. So If people are curious about your program, I know it's coming up soon. You want to tell us like the dates that, you know, your program starts and where people can learn more about it if they're listening to this and they're going, ah, like that's what I need in my life. That's what my business needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So all the many things I've created are on my website, which is wildhearts with an S, riseup.com. And if you go wildheartsriseup.com/magic, you will find that 6-month program that I mentioned, Magnetic Influencer Collective. It's starting on January 23rd. I keep saying that with a question mark. I'm pretty sure it's the 23rd. I haven't been looking too much at January right now because there's a lot in December to be dealing with. But yeah, it's a really beautiful adventure. It's really for the heart-centered, I call them warrior goddess entrepreneurs, the women or female or non-binary people who feel called to go deeper energetically with the work that they're bringing to the world. You don't have to be a coach or a healer. Usually, you know, there's some holistic side of the people who join, but we've had all kinds of different businesses come to this table. And you don't have to look at that page or listen to this one podcast and know for sure that this is for you. If you want to have a conversation, or even if you just want to talk about what doing this work with me would look like, you're welcome to join me for a conversation. wildheartsriseup.com/strategy. I don't usually give out free sessions anymore, but that will get you a free 30-minute call. I just ask that you are really considering doing this kind of work with me and not just looking for a free 30-minute conversation if you use that link. But yeah, podcasts, tons of free gifts and offerings on my website. Both of my books, one of my books is called Wild Hearts Rise Up as well. And that's sort of more in depth on my own journey of building a business and stepping into my leadership. So if you're looking for inspiration, that's a good place to go.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your very inspiring story and very unique presence. And I recommend you guys check out her 6-month program. Like I'm impressed just at the length of a program, and it sounds like the holistic nature of how you go through this process with people, from the tactics to the magic and everything in between. So thank you so much for being here with us. We'll hear from you again sometime soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Free Your Soma podcast. To find out more information about today's guest, check the show notes. And to find out more information about me, Amy Takaya, and the Radiance program, visit www.freeyoursoma.com.